would like to share the reading of the word with me, we're going to read from the book of John, chapter 1, and beginning with verse 1. Throughout this series of messages, I have quoted this particular scripture several times. This morning, it is going to be our text. So John chapter 1, verse 1. John the Beloved writes in John chapter 1, verse number 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not." Stop and think about that for a moment. He created the world, came into the world, and the world did not even recognize the Creator. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon His name, which were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but by the will of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And I'm going to stop right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads, let us pray, and ask the Lord for His help in ministering the Word. Father God, we thank You today for the opportunity that You have given to us to be in the house of God. Thank You this morning, Father, for the visitation of Your Holy Spirit that has been felt in this place. I thank You this morning, Lord, for the opportunity to share Your Word. I would ask, Father God, that You would give us liberty in the house of the Lord to freely share what You have placed upon my heart. I pray that You would give me divine unction to speak as an oracle, an instrument in Your hand. Inspire my thoughts, put Your Word in my mind and in my mouth. In my own self, I am incapable. In my own ability, I am inadequate. But if You will anoint me, and if You will touch me with the anointing of Your Holy Spirit, then others will be blessed. Let Christ be glorified. Let the people of God be edified. And for all of these things, we will give You thanks and we will give You praise. And we ask them now in the name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. So this morning, I want to conclude a series of sermons that we have engaged in or upon these last few weeks with the big picture or the big title called The Miracle of Christmas. We have talked about the first Sunday, we talked about the miracle of the moment. If I may, let me just kind of reiterate a few of those points. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4 said, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law," talking about us, "that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And then he goes on to say, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That first sermon we titled The Miracle of the Moment. And the miracle of the moment that they had been waiting for had finally come to pass in the birth of Jesus Christ. The miracle of the moment was that at the fullness of time, Christ sent his Son unto us. The long-awaited seed that had come to crush the head of the serpent and the long-awaited promise of God had finally been manifested in the birth of Jesus Christ. In Christ, men and women are no longer to be slaves unto sin. We are no longer to be slaves unto the law, but we have become sons and daughters and heirs and joint heirs with Christ. The miracle of Christmas was about the miracle of that moment. And in Christ, you and I have entered into our inheritance. The Bible says in Ephesians that God has caused us to sit with Him in heavenly places or in high places in Christ Jesus. In other words, we have been elevated into our inheritance. Last week, we talked about the miracle of the message. The miracle of Christmas is about the miracle of the message that he brought. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1 said, In times past, God spoke to our ancestors at many different times and in many different ways through the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken unto us through his Son. The miracle of the message is the message of Emmanuel, God with us. The miracle of the message is that God came down to meet us upon our level. He brought his presence into this world in a new way through the birth of his Son. The miracle of the message was the message of the angels who declared in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Amen. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the miracle of the message. The miracle of Christmas was about the miracle of the message that came to us. So we have talked about the miracle of the moment, and we have talked about the miracle of the message that he brought. This morning, I want to share with you the third and final sermon in this series, or in this series of messages, and I have entitled it, The Miracle of the Manger. The Miracle of the Manger. I want to begin today by saying, first of all, that I recognize that we live in a very skeptical society. In fact, the mentality of many in the world today is that mentality of the motto of the state of Missouri. How many of you know what the motto of the state of Missouri is? The Show Me State. We live in a prove it to me kind of society. We live in a prove it to me or show me kind of world. And to be honest with you, we no doubt come by that very honestly, because no doubt we have all at some time or another in our life come in contact with someone that purported to be telling the truth and they turned out to be a fraud. No doubt we have come by our skepticism very honestly. There have been individuals that have made false statements that were supposed to be true, and we got burned a couple of times, and so our mentality becomes, show me, prove it to me. And yet, even with our skepticism, even with our skeptical mentality, there is something about the story of the manger and the virgin birth that captures our attention and draws us in. As we read about the birth of Jesus Christ, we are invited to consider that the possibility of the impossible has taken place. Let me say that again. We are invited to believe that the possibility of the impossible has taken place. Pastor Gary, what do you mean by the possibility of the impossible? Well, I thought, how can I bring that out? And I just will be plain. How many pregnant virgins do you know? It's impossible. And yet we are invited to believe that it was possible. I mean, you know, the Bible said that all things are possible with God. Amen. We are invited to believe, amen, that the possible or the impossible had become possible in the virgin birth. We all know that angels do not routinely appear in the night sky and sing to us, right? How many angelic choirs have you heard in your lifetime? Me, not so many. Hello. And yet we are invited to believe that the impossible became possible and the angels literally appeared in the heavens and sang glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And as the story begins to unfold, we are faced with some incredible and some amazing possible impossibilities. And in our skeptic mind, we no doubt at times must have to ask ourselves, could this really be? Could this really be the promised seed? Could he really be the very Son of God? Who is this baby that is lying in a manger? Could he really be who everyone says that he is? And John's gospel, here our text, begins to describe to us in a very beautiful and a very poetic way the coming of the Lord. John says, in the beginning was the Word. Let me just share with you this morning that John is talking about the pre-incarnate Christ. He existed before he came. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He existed before he came. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Understand that John is describing the coming of the Messiah. He is describing the miracle of the manger. He is describing the coming of Christ and the birth of our Lord. And yet it seems to me that as we read through that text, the big question that longs to be answered is a question of identity. Who is he? Who exactly is this child that we find in Bethlehem's manger? Could he be who he really claims that he was? Could he really be who he claims that he was? And I want to just kind of break some things down for you this morning. And I want you to consider some of the astonishing claims that Jesus made. I want to explain to you some of the astonishing and mind-blowing things that Jesus claimed about himself. Consider for a moment that he was born in the humblest of circumstances. His mother was an ordinary, unwed, virgin Jewish girl. Consider this morning that his birthplace was a stable or a barn in a little obscure town called Bethlehem. And yet when Jesus began his ministry, he came making some very astonishing claims about his life. Let me just give you some examples. Number one, Jesus claimed to be sent from God. He claimed to be sent from God. John chapter 12 and verse 45, Jesus said, "He that seeth me seeth him that sent me." John chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus said, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." John chapter 6 and verse number 38, this is what Jesus said about himself. He said, "I came down from heaven." Some pretty astonishing claims. He said, "I came down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him that sent me." John chapter 7 and verse number 29, but Jesus said, amen, "For I am from him and he has sent me." John chapter 7 and verse number 16, Jesus answered and said, "My doctrine is not my own doctrine, but it is the doctrine of he that sent me." John 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me." Stop and consider for a moment what an astonishing claim this is, to be sent from God the Father. He is saying, "I did not come to do my will, but I came to do the will of the one that sent me. I am an authorized divine representative of God the Father. I didn't come to do my will, but I came to do his will." He says, "I didn't come from this world, but I came down from heaven." He is saying that he is not of this world. He is from another world. He says, "My doctrine is not my own." Amen. What he's saying is, what I have to say is coming directly from God. Those are some pretty astonishing claims. He declares, "I did not come to do my works, but the works I do are the works of the one that sent me." What an amazing thing to say. He is saying, in essence, "I came because my Father sent me to this earth. And the words that I speak and the things that I do are a direct expression of God." I don't know anybody else that could make that claim. Those are some pretty outlandish, astonishing, radical claims, and we are left to ponder, who is this miracle in the manger? Could he be who he says he was? Could he be, in fact, the promised seed? Could he be the Son of God? And we are left to ponder, and we are left to answer that question for ourselves. Jesus claimed not only to be sent from God, he claimed to be the very Son of God. Let me just remind you, do you remember the story in John chapter 4, the woman at the well? The Bible said that Jesus had need to go through Samaria. He stops at a well, and a woman comes out to draw water. The disciples have gone into town to fetch food. Jesus is sitting there. The woman comes up and he says to the woman, who is a Samaritan woman, "Give me to drink." And she said, "Wait a minute, hold on. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, to give you a drink, when the Jews do not have any dealings with the Samaritans? The Jews despise the Samaritans. And yet here is Jesus asking this woman for a drink of water. And she says, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink of water? And Jesus said to her, if you knew who it was. Wow. If you knew who it was that asked you for a drink of water, you would ask me and I would give you a drink of living water. He said, whosoever drinks of this water shall, amen, thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give, it shall be in you a well that's springing up unto everlasting life. And the woman said, give me this water to drink. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you're right. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And she got all spiritual. She said, I perceive that you are a prophet. Hello? I perceive that you are a prophet. And listen what she says. She said, I know you worship in Jerusalem, and we worship here in this mountain. And Jesus said unto her, the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For God seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, listen to this, I know that when Messiah comes, which is called Christ, he will come and he will show us all things. And listen to what Jesus claimed. He said, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He claimed to be the very Son of God. He claimed to be the Messiah. And we are left to grapple with the question, was he who he said he was? Who is this miracle in the manger? Jesus claimed to be one with God. John chapter 10 and verse number 30, he said, I and my Father are one. Jesus claimed to be the bread of life and the living water that can satisfy our spiritual hunger. Jesus claimed to have authority to forgive sin and extend grace unto us. Do you remember the story? You'll find it in Mark chapter 2. The Bible said that Jesus was in a house in Capernaum. And when it got noised abroad that he was in the house, they began to come so that they could hear him teach. And the Bible said that there were four men that took one of their friends who was sick of the palsy, could not come on his own, and they picked up his cot and they carried him to the meeting. And it was so packed and so full that they couldn't get through the door, so they tore the roof off and let the man down in Jesus' presence. And do you know what Jesus said to this guy? Now, we know that many times he said, go your way, your faith has made you whole. Be healed. We know that he said, you know, to be healed and all kinds of things. But he didn't say any of that to this guy. The guy comes down. They let him down in the roof. He comes before Jesus, and this is what he says to the sick of the palsy. You'll find it in Mark chapter 2. He said, son, your sins be forgiven thee. And the Bible said, you'll read it right there in Mark chapter 2. The Bible said, and there were certain scribes and Pharisees that were sitting there, and they heard him say that, and they began to say, who in the world is this guy that he would blaspheme against God? Nobody has a right to forgive sin except God himself. And Jesus knew what they were thinking. He says to them, he says, why, amen, why do you reason in your mind, and why do such thoughts come into your mind? Amen. Jesus said to them, he perceived in his spirit, and he said to them, what is easier for me to say, son, your sins be forgiven you, or take up your bed and walk? And then listen what he said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sin upon the earth. He turned to the sick of palsy and said, take up your bed and walk. And the man got up and walked out of the house, made absolutely whole. He was proving his point that he had power to forgive sin. Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man can come to the Father except by me. Amen. Listen to this. Jesus claimed that he was the only way to get to God the Father and get to heaven. Now, that's a pretty powerful claim. Jesus said, in fact, he also said, anybody that tries to come up any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. He said, I'm it. I'm the door. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. Ain't nobody going except you come through me. That is a pretty powerful statement. And we are left to grapple with the fact and answer the question, who was the miracle in the manger? Is he who he said he was? Who is this child? Those are some mighty big claims. Jesus claimed to have all authority in heaven and in earth. Do you have scripture for that, Pastor Gary? I do. I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus said to the disciples before he ascended into heaven, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's a pretty powerful statement. I have all power in heaven and in earth. What do we make of such astonishing claims? I submit to you this morning that there are those that choose to simply ignore the claims that he made. They are around us. Even in our community, they choose to ignore the claims that he made. There are those that, while being very respectful to Jesus, they take his astonishing claims, they take with a grain of salt. They don't take them very seriously. There are those that, you know, while being respectful to Jesus and being respectful to the Lord, they don't take his words too seriously. Not enough to live by them. Oh, I'm preaching good now. The Islam religion teaches that Jesus was nothing more than a prophet and a good man. The Hindu religion teaches that Jesus is just one of many ways to get to God. There are many today that admire him from a distance, but when it comes right down to it, they believe that he was just a nice man with a good word to share. I ask you this morning, what do you believe? Who was this babe in the manger? C.S. Lewis explained Jesus, amen, said, C.S. Lewis said that Jesus did not leave us any option of just respecting him as a good and noble teacher. C.S. Lewis said, and I quote, his claims leave us no room for that position. We really have only three options concerning what to make of the claims of Jesus Christ. Number one, either he made these claims knowing that they were false, and therefore he is a liar. Number two, he made these claims because he believed them to be true, and in reality they were not. That makes him deceived or a lunatic. Number three, he is who he claimed he was. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the question that we are left to consider is, what do we believe? When it comes to the astonishing claims of Jesus, the conclusion can only be he is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord. And I ask you this morning, what have you decided? The implications of our choice are staggering. I submit to you this morning that if he was who he claimed to be, if he was the Messiah, if he was sent of God, if he was the expression of God the Father, if his words and his deeds were spoken to us so that we might know the very heart of God, then I submit to you this morning, if he was who he said he was, then we have a choice to make. What if there really is that special someone that knows our name and knows whether we've been naughty or nice? What if there really is that special, awesome someone that knows if we are sleeping or if we are awake, that knows, amen, that we've been bad or good, and you can finish it, so be good, for goodness sakes. What if there really is that special someone that knows everything about you? This is what Jesus said about you. He said, the very hairs of your head are numbered. I used to have more. I used to worry about it turning gray. Now I'm just worried about it turning loose. If he is who he said he was, listen to me, if he is who he said he was, then all of his promises are true. If he is who he said he was, then he really can wipe away our past, make all things pass away, and behold, make all things become new. If he really is who he said he was, then he can make us a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. If he really is who he said he was, then he can give us a brand new life. If he really is who he said he was, then he can fill us with his love and his passion for the lost. He can fill us with his love and with the vision for the vision of the kingdom of God. If he really is who he said he was, then he can make us, amen, a brand new creature and make, amen, make our lives brand new. We don't have to live with guilt and shame, amen, and a heavy burden of the past. We can be free from all of that. Amen. And the question becomes, do we believe? We must consider that question for ourselves. I will tell you right up front, I believe. You're here, I believe, because you believe. But I'm telling you right now, I can't answer that question for you. I can't answer that question for you. Do you believe? I would love to. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, present your life a living sacrifice unto the Lord. But that's all I can do is beseech you. I can only encourage you. I can only admonish you. I can only, you know, come on and get up and let go. But you have to be the one to make the choice. Those listening by the internet have to be the one to make the choice. It's one thing to know about him. It's another thing to know him. If you are listening by way of internet right now, amen, I just want you to understand, you can know about Jesus and not know Jesus, but I encourage you to come to know the Master for yourself. Don't just know about him. Get acquainted with him, and he will change your life. Who do you believe he was? Do you believe he was liar, lunatic, or Lord? We have to answer that question. Jesus, passing through the coast of Caesarea Philippi, you'll find it in Matthew chapter 16. He's passing through the coast and he asked his disciples one day, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they begin to tell him the town gossip. Some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're one of the prophets. Jesus said, "I don't want to hear what they're thinking. I want to know what you think. Who do you say that I am?" And Peter got a revelation from God. He said, "I'll tell you who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that I will build my church upon this rock of revelation of who I am. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The Holy Spirit is asking us this morning, who do we say that he is? And if he is who he said he was, then let's line up with his word and let's receive his word and let's live what he wanted us to live. Be not double-minded. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The question that I feel like the Holy Spirit is wanting us to answer this morning is, who do you say that he is? How will you answer the question, is Christ who he claimed to be? The miracle of the manger is that God came in the flesh to live among us. The miracle of the manger is that all who believe and receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The miracle of the manger is that God came to man so that man could become the children of God. If we will believe in our hearts and trust him that he is who he said he was, our past can be forgiven. Our future can be secured. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And our final destination will be determined by that one question. Who is he? He is Christ. He is Lord of all. Bow your heads if you will, please. I want to make sure we have plenty of time for communion before we close our service, but bow your heads, please, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we believe in the miracle of the manger. We believe that this child born in Bethlehem is exactly who he said he was. We believe that he is God in the flesh, that he is Lord of life, and that he is Savior to all that call upon his name. Forgive us of our sins and fill us with your divine Holy Spirit. Allow us to walk in the joy. Allow us to walk in the joy and in the presence of God in this life with your presence in our hearts every day. Use us, I pray, to extend your kingdom to the ends of the earth. Allow the light of your love to shine in us and through us and to others by our relationship with you. Touch our hearts here this morning. Give us confidence to answer that the miracle in the manger was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. We pray these things in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus.